Welcome to Sound Computing, article number 34, an overview of the FileDir file manager. This article is a little bit of a hodgepodge. Most of it is a recording that I made on my own computer as I was broadcasting to the world on the Tech Talk radio, internet radio program, on, you might call it, on July 16th. If you listen to this same rendition on the Tech Talk site, you'll find there's a lot of buffering going on, so I broke up a lot, but of course this recording I was making on my own computer, so you won't have any of that problem. I'll be redoing the introduction because that part wasn't recorded, and then at the end is an addendum because I was talking about FileDir version 2.7, and since then Jamal has come out with version 2.8 and fixed a problem and added a couple other features. So here we go to talk about FileDir. FileDir is created by Jamal Mazrui. It's a free, very accessible file manager program. It was motivated by the fact, and Jamal has been trying this for years, to provide better file management than what the programs that come with Windows provide. Now, my computer and Windows Explorer, which are really the same program, they're cool. If you're happy with them, don't listen too much to this, or if you do listen to it, don't feel obligated to try it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of thing. But my computer isn't very powerful. There's an awful lot of things you really can't do with it. That's one thing. The other thing that motivated Jamal is that, at least I believe anyway, or certainly the way it comes out, we who are blind or otherwise can't use our eyes too well, the selection process that we use in Windows with all those little keyboards, shift, down, arrow, and all those various shift, arrow commands is certainly good. We need to know how to do it. The problem is, though, it's really made for people that have vision. When I, and I suspect I'm not alone in this, as I am using down arrow to go through my list of files, I'm doing more than just moving from one file to another. I'm finding out what's there. I don't know what's there. So the problem with using, say, shift down arrow to select files is that I may or may not want to select the next file, but I may not know what it is. Of course, you can shift up arrow to unselect. There are ways around this, but it's not terribly efficient. So Jamal has provided a means in FileDir where we can tag files, more about that later, independently. Then, as we arrow around, navigate around the way we usually do, we can choose or not choose to tag files, and it doesn't have any effect on the navigation process. So this is really much better for us. Let me run through. There are probably around 20 things that a person can do with FileDir that, with one keystroke, that either you can do them with my computer with 2, 3, or 4 keystrokes, or in some cases you really can't do them with my computer at all. You have to use a separate program to do it. You can create zip archives. As we hear in the addendum, this is one part of the program that Jamal improved in version 2.8. You can zip and unzip files. You don't have to have a zip program on your computer. You can copy and paste, or copy and move files in really interesting ways, much more creatively than you can with the usual Windows approach. You can burn files to a CD. You can take a bunch of files and burn them to a data CD. A few of my favorite things: you can take any document, if it's a PDF or a Word document or a web page or a RTF file, and you can convert it to text very quickly. So this is much faster to take a PDF document and use the one Control T keystroke to generate a text version than it is to open up Adobe Reader and then save it as text. This is the same mechanics in the background used to generate the text that is used in PDF to TXT, which Jamal also wrote. Similarly, you can do the same thing and create Word documents. You can take a number of files and send them directly to an FTP site. When I'm creating tidbits, there are 5 files every week that have to go up to the website, and I can FTP them very effortlessly using this process. A couple more things that are among my favorites. You can take a number of files and turn the whole clump of them into one text file. You can also take those same files and turn them into individual text files. If, say, they're PDF or RTF or web or HTML files, you can take each one and have the program automatically turn into a text document. You can take a text file that you may have written or a Word document, and you can email it as the body of a message. Similarly, you can highlight a bunch of files, tag a bunch of files actually in file terminology, and you can attach those files to an email message. So you'll create an email message for which you will then write the body yourself, but the attachments are already in there. You've already got them loaded in to your email client. Finally, a few things that have nothing to do whatsoever with file management, really, but they're kind of added extras, and one we're going to spend some time talking about in some detail later because I find it to be uniquely useful. That is, you can download web pages, and using the other facilities of FileDir, you can do a very efficient job of reading some newspapers that way. You can do a bunch of unit calculations, like, you know, minutes turn, you know, how many days in how many hours in these days, or how many minutes in this number of hours, or how many miles to kilometers, or how many meters to yards. There are about 80 some calculations you can perform, and you can also use the program as a simple calculator if you want to. So these are the reasons that might motivate you to consider learning FileDir. There is a lot to learn in FileDir. There are a lot of keyboard shortcuts, several ways of doing everything, and actually it's a very daunting program. I highly recommend what I'm doing here, which is to teach the program to somebody, because of the fact that I am teaching this, I am have had to learn a lot more, and it's come in really handy for me that I've done so. So that's don't feel bad if you find this program a little hard to learn, because there's so much of it. It's taken me a number of weeks, and there are still things I don't know. I still forget keystrokes and get them mixed up because there just are so many here. But you can use the program without using all the keystrokes if you want to. There are menus, and there's even an alternate menu, as we'll get into a little bit later. I've used FileDir with three different screen readers, and you would think, based on the fact that Jamal's done a lot of work with JAWS, that JAWS would be the best environment. Actually, in my opinion, although I use it with JAWS mostly, but probably the purest speaking environment for it is WindowEyes. The problem is that JAWS, and I actually, this can be solved, and it would be, once it is solved, it would be okay, but you'd have to go into the dictionary and do some work, but selecting and unselecting text has no role in FileDir. It's totally an independent process that we're doing. And JAWS gives all kinds of unselected messages as you're arrowing up and down, which are completely irrelevant. And it also, as you're tagging files, it speaks all kind. It'll go back and redraw the screen and speak stuff that you didn't really want to hear and gets in the way. WindowEyes doesn't do any of that. I also used System Access. The biggest reason not to use System Access, it's okay, but in FileDir, when you're tagging files, the files that are tagged are marked with a greater than sign at the end of the name. And so it's really nifty, no matter what other punctuation settings you've got going, if you're assuming you're not using a Braille display, it's really handy to have it so that you hear greater than signs. It's real easy in JAWS and WindowEyes to isolate the greater than sign and speak it as opposed to any other similar punctuation marks. You can, you know, independently turn it on in that program. I couldn't find any way in System Access to even make the greater than sign speak at all, much less isolate it. So for that reason, System Access may not be as good right now, but I'm sure that's something they can work on. One of the minuses of the program is that in my computer, and an awful lot of computer users don't pay attention to these little messages about list boxes versus list views, but you do that to your peril, because a list view is a really handy control. When you're in my computer and you want to find, let's say you want to find the file tragedy.txt, for example, you can type TRAG and jump right to it, because it's a list view. And list views accommodate, as long as you type them fairly quickly, accommodate multiple keystrokes. FileDir puts its files in a list box, and you can't do that with a list box. Now, there is a good workaround that we'll get to that's not bad, but it's still not as good in that regard. So that's one aspect of the program that I don't like too well. It also, if you've got a big folder, like my documents folder that has 700 and some items in it, it's a little bit slow to load the contents of it. Not like my computer, which comes up really quickly. The other thing is that you have to refresh the file, the display, a lot. And that's because, well, for whatever reason, when you make changes, say you delete things, you copy and you paste things into your folder, in FileDir, they don't show up unless you refresh the view. Fortunately, Jamal gave us the period. You know, there's also F5, which is a keystroke that, you know, we're kind of used to for refreshing the screen in Internet Explorer, but there's also, he put period in there as a refresh, and that's pretty nifty because you just kind of hit the period and it's not bad. I've been reading on the list last couple days of some people having difficulty with the program, like big difficulty with the program, and I think perhaps, I'm hoping that the reason for that is that they don't have the .NET environment installed. You have to install the Microsoft .NET environment. It was my impression. I haven't installed FileDir for a while. I mean, it's been on my system. It's been my impression that the installer takes care of that, and if you don't have the .NET on your computer, helps you go get it. But some people have been running into problems with it. But you do need to have that. There's no harm in having it. It doesn't hurt anything else. So you might as well get it. So it's a requirement in order to use any of these programs that Jamal's been creating, at least the TextPal and also FileDir. What you have then, and when you're using FileDir, is this nice little display of whatever folder. It starts out, defaults to the My Documents folder on your computer, and it gives you a list of all the folder, all the subfolders, and below that it puts all the files. That the folders always stay on top. That never changes. And because it doesn't make any difference when you hit a key, if the file name is capitalized or, you know, upper or lowercase, it doesn't make any difference. Hitting a lowercase B jumps you to files that start with a capital B or a small B, depending on how they were named by sort of behind the scenes. Jamal has then used the shift key with all the letters to give us a whole bunch of added keystroke possibilities. So you have there are some patterns to his keystroke assignments. Unfortunately, there's no way you can reassign them. I wish you could, but you can't. But they're generally pretty good. Generally, the simpler keystrokes require, you know, one, either the shift or alt or control. When you start getting into alt shift and control shift, they're either less common functions or more dangerous functions involving, say, deleting without confirm and deleting without recycling. So, for example. So, and there are some patterns, and I'll try to tell you about the patterns as we go along here. When you're in the program, you can quickly find out the file you're looking at, its size, and your filter status. We'll talk about that in a minute. By reading the status line, of course, your screen reader gives you a command to do that, but you can use Alt-Z and get the status line that way. Jamal has given us many ways to access the commands, and that's one of the reasons this program is sort of daunting, is there's just so much of it and so many ways to do everything. There's the usual Windows menu bar, and so I'll point out where the commands I'm going to talk to you about are on the menus. There are all the keystrokes. I mean, everything has at least one keystroke you can use to do it. So if you're one who doesn't mind memorizing keystrokes, then you're in good shape with this program. But if you don't like doing that, you don't have to, because there is that menu, and there's also an alternative menu with Alt F10. Brings up a list box, an alphabetical list box of all the commands in the program. So I often find myself going in there because I can't remember the keystroke, and unfortunately sometimes I can't remember the FileDir name. So I'm going to endeavor to give you the FileDir name for the commands, so that if you don't learn the keystroke, you can do Alt F10 and bring up that alternative menu. I'll let go of the talk key here and see how we're doing. All right, well, we'll carry on then. So before we get to the kind of fun, unique stuff that you can do with FileDir that you can't do with my computer, you still have to manage the files. You still have to find a folder. You have to get into it and perhaps get back out of it. Then you have to figure out what files you want to manage. And so there's some all that nitty-gritty stuff that isn't, you know, really glamorous, but it's kind of the nuts and bolts of a file manager. There's terminology in FileDir. There's opening folders versus going to folders. Now, before I get to that, though, FileDir the term is a single instance window, and it's kind of nice because I wish more programs did this. Eudora does, but most other ones don't. Winamp also does. If you have a shortcut key assigned to open that program, if you hit that key from anywhere in Windows, it will open. It will not open a second or third or fourth instance of the program, or give you some kind of a dialogue suggesting that this is a problem. It'll simply take you to the version that's already open. You can only have one version of FileDir open, but within that version you can have many windows, and so you navigate among all the different windows in FileDir. There's several different ways you can do it. There is the window menu, so you can Alt W and choose the window by number. That one works pretty well. You can use some keystrokes that we're used to in different programs. Control Enter takes you forward. Control Shift Enter takes you back through those windows as you're opening up different folders. And another keystroke that I kind of like that we're used to in Internet Explorer is Alt Right Arrow and Alt Left Arrow take you through the different windows that you open up as you're moving along in FileDir, opening up folders in order to move, copy, delete files, whatever you want to do. So when you open a folder, if you hit a command like Enter, that's how you open a subfolder. And Backspace, you open the parent folder. That's opening. That means that when you do that, you've both opened the folder, the one that you're intending to open, and the one you were in stays open. That window is also still there. On the other hand, if you go to a folder, that means that you replace the window that you left from with the new one. So that if you hit Control Enter, for example, that means that you are going to destroy whatever window you were in and open a new one. If you hit Shift, actually, is that? I'm already making a questioning my keystroke here. It's Shift Enter. It's not Control Enter. Sorry about that. Because it's Shift Backspace does the same thing. Shift Backspace, you go to a parent folder, it wipes out the one you were in. And once you sort of get the handle of these, you can start getting pretty efficient with your use of Windows in the program. Control F4, of course, closes a window. Another keystroke, by the way, comma does the same thing as Shift Backspace. So that's kind of a nifty way to destroy the window you're in and go back to a previous window. And then Control F4 closes, and Shift Control F4 closes all the windows except the one you're in, which can come in sort of handy. So there's also a nice keystroke. Jamal's done something pretty cool. Shift Control O, you bring up a list of all these different special folders in Windows. You know, My Documents and Program Files and Application Data. There's about 30 some of them on here actually. And so that's a list box. You Shift Control O and you hit P, and you'll probably that one or two hits of the P will take you into the Program Files folder that is part of all Windows installs. So it's a lot of easy ways to get into folders thanks to that keystroke. You can open up drives. Alt 1 through Alt 9. So if you stick, say, a thumb drive in your USB port and it's removable disk F, you can hit Alt 6 and immediately pop a FileDir window with that drive open. So that's a really rapid run through of all the different ways you can open up folder windows in FileDir. So now we've got our folder open. Now the question is, what files are we going to work on? And there's several different ways to go about that. One of the things that I've often wished I could do in my computer is to what Jamal refers to as a filter. The idea is sort out, just show me the .txt files, just show me the doc files, just show me the PDF files, whatever it is. So you do Control F and you type in *.pdf or *.kes, thinking about tomorrow night's presentation on Kurzweil, and your view is limited to those particular files with that extension. Recently, this capability has been enhanced. You can do b*.doc, for example, to limit limit only to Word documents that start with B. So filtering is one of the really cool things you can do with the program. I mentioned that I feel the loss of the ability to use a list view. So the way that Jamal solves that problem, and actually enhances it a little bit, enhances the solution, is with Control J. So you've got this folder full of just a ton of files, and you want to find the one you're looking for. And so what you can do is you can do Control J for jump, and then you type some string, not including any wildcards or anything, just some string of characters that make up the name. It can be a string of characters from the beginning, or it can be a string of characters from the middle or the end. It doesn't matter, as long as they're a continuous, contiguous string of characters. And you hit Enter, and then it'll jump you to the first occurrence of that string. Alt-J jumps you to subsequent occurrences. So it's not quite as easy as a list view, but almost. And it gives you a way to find the file that you want to work on. Keywords is another approach. This, I actually haven't ever used this, so I can't tell you how fast it works, but this works on the file name or the folder or the contents. And you use Control K. You type in, and you can have multiple keywords. These are words that that appear in the file. And you type either the ampersand, shift of 7, or the vertical bar, the shift of backslash, if you want to do an or. So you can have all these interesting combinations of ands and ors for your keywords. You can have look for, and then you can also put an extension in. So you can look for Word documents, *.doc, that contain the words, Mariners and Ichiro, for example. Or you can have look for Word documents to contain Mariners or Giants, and that way you can do a search and find the documents. There's also a find feature that I haven't used much, Alt Shift F, that allows you to search for text in a file, and you'll get a list of all the files that contain the text, same as you get a list of all the files that match the keyword search. So a lot of power here to figure out what files you want to work on and find the particular file you're looking for. I've mentioned tagging, and that's one of the real fundamental advantages this program offers. You can mark, or tag is the correct term, files. Keep exploring around, keep figuring out, browse through your folder. As you come to a file you want to tag, you can tag it, then you can untag, and a lot of the commands work on tagged files or the current file. Some of them just work on tagged file as opposed to the current, which is the file that has focus. So as you're arrowing up and down through your list, the easiest way to tag is by hitting the space bar. Tag, and then you can also untag that way if you didn't want to tag that file after all. When you tag a file, it gets a greater than sign appended to the name. That's the beauty of that is, because he appends the greater than sign, that means you can still do all kinds of, you can use all the same letters to skip around through the files, through the folder, because the greater than sign is at the end and isn't interfering with navigation, but it just lets you know that the file has been tagged. Greater than sign, since we're using the greater than sign to tag, the greater than sign, which is shift period on the keyboard, lets you tag the current file and jump down to the next one. You can also use shift down arrow, the Windows command that we're used to for this purpose. There's a little difference, though. If you're in My Computer and you use shift down arrow, because when you're in My Computer, the file that you're focusing on, the arrows are currently sitting on, is selected. When you shift down arrow, then that first one is selected, and so is the next one. In this case, if you tag and next, that's the file dir command for this, If you hit greater than or shift down arrow, the first file that you were originally on is tagged, and then you move to the next one, but it is not tagged yet. You have to take independent action to tag it. So it's a little different. Control A does tag all files. As I said before, selecting plays no part in this program. We're not doing any selecting of anything. But we can use some of the same commands to tag and untag. And untagging, which is also very important, is Shift-Control-A. You do have to pay attention in FileDir. And I have, in the early days of my FileDir use, made a couple of colossal deletions that I actually didn't really want to make because I wasn't listening. Since I don't use a Braille display, so I have to listen. And it's really my own fault, because FileDir will tell you, and it'll give you a chance to confirm what it's doing. It'll say, delete 15 tagged files. Sure? Well, you know, if you're paying any attention at all, and you didn't really want to delete those 15 tagged files, you don't have to. You just say no. But some of us aren't as smart as others of us, you know, so that's the way life is. So pay attention, and Shift-Control-A to untag all is really handy, because that way you just don't have to worry about it. You can just, that way you know you're starting fresh. Because one of the nice things, actually, is let's say you tag a bunch of files as in the ways that we've described, and then you what might you do, for example? And we'll use this in the newspaper download. It's a feature that I'm going to get to if we get to it. You can append the text of all these files to the clipboard, turn them all into one big text file. Once you've done that, the files are still tagged. And, you know, in the case that I'm talking about, these are a bunch of HTML files for newspaper articles. I don't have any use for those anymore, so I can delete them right then and there. I don't have to worry about re-tagging them or anything. So as you get comfortable with the program, you can take advantage of some of the powers that it offers. There are a lot of keystrokes. I'm going to not, I think, cover some of these keystrokes. They're amply covered in the documentation, and if you want to know about them, you can ask. For example, you can jump to the beginning and the end of the list of tagged files. It's beginning tagged and end tagged commands. On the menu bar, these commands are all in the edit menu. So browse through the edit menu if you want to do that, or you browse through the Alt F10 alternate menu, or you learn the keystrokes. When I'm done here, by the way, I will figure out how to do it in this new version of the program that I haven't used, in the new version of the chat program. I'll put the URL. One of the clever things that Jamal has done is he's got this massive, many of you may remember his Empowerment Zone website. He doesn't actually update that website anymore, but he still has the domain. And so what he does is when he comes out with new creations, he just gives them Empowerment Zone links, and you can just download them, gives you a download link. And then FileDir, the download link is always the same. So once you've got it, you've got it. And then once you've got the program, you can do what he calls Elevate Version. By hitting F11, if you hear about a new version coming out, you just hit F11, it closes the current version, downloads it, installs it for you, which is one of the fastest install I've ever seen in Windows, I think. Gives you a choice if you want to install Alt-Control-F as the hotkey, which I think you do, unless you've got that for something else, and if you do, you just go into Properties and replace it. Lets you install the JAWS scripts, which he's explained what they do, and I can't remember what it is. And it lets you read the documentation, which is on the web. So that's how the installation works, and that's how Elevate Version works. Let's release this and make sure we're still doing okay. I suspect we probably are, but I'm going to release this. And in fact, if we're doing okay, I'm actually going to hit the lock key, because it'd be a little easier. All right, gives me two hands to work with, which I sort of has the advantage. All right, one of the nice things that you can do here, and this is stuff you can do in my computer with some of it you can do with three keystrokes, but some of it takes a little more work, and it has to do with sorting. So you're in your folder, The default sort order is reverse date, as I recall, so that the oldest stuff, the newest stuff, is on top. I personally like a regular date order with the oldest on top, and then so that whatever new thing is shows up at the bottom. But all these sort orders, all the usual sort orders you have access to in Windows, alpha, which is just, you know, name, that's what Windows Explorer refers to as the name, date, size, and type, you can flip any of these with one keystroke. So Alt-A is straight alpha order. Alt-Shift-A is reverse alpha order, so that you know, things starting with Z are on top and moving down to the A's at the bottom. So date, same pattern with D. Size, same pattern with S. Type, the same pattern with T. So Alt-Shift-T would be a reverse type format. I don't think I've ever used that one. Don't know that I ever will. On the other hand, Alt-S would be size smallest to largest. Alt-Shift-S is largest to smallest. And that, you know, so those kind of things you might want to do. So these are things that give you total control over the your folder, how you want to look at it. And as I say, the process of generating of changing the order from, say, reverse alpha, well, in Windows Explorer they call it date, from flipping it from oldest to newest to oldest, is not the absolute easiest process, whereas in FileDir it's really pretty easy. When you're looking at a folder, a file, you've got a file highlighted. Whether or not it's tagged doesn't make any difference. It's the current file, and you can get some information about it with just some keystrokes. So Shift-D will tell you its date, Shift-S will tell you its size, and Shift-T will tell you its file type. There are some other announcement options. If you hit the apostrophe, it'll just tell you, what's the current item. If you hit Shift apostrophe, it'll tell you the folder. And there's some other nifty things you can do with the clipboard that we'll get into in a little while here with announcements. And you can do what Jamal refers to. You can get the yield. So he has these Y commands, that Y keystrokes for the yield. So Shift Y will tell you, will give you how many tagged files you've got. Alt Y will tell you how many files there are in the folder and their size. Control Shift Y. This is really nice to have this, because you just, how much space left on my hard drive? Well, you don't have to, like, go into properties and use your screen reader's review cursor, JAWS cursor, whatever. You just hit Control Shift Y, and it'll tell you, how much use, how much space, and how much free space on the hard drive. Finally, Alt Shift Y gives you the gives you a bunch of information about your Windows install. Hit the percent sign. Shift of 5 tells you, okay, if you've got this list of 275 files, it'll tell you where are you in the list. You're in file number 150 out of 275. I mentioned, so now that's, I guess let's just be on the safe side here. I'm going to unlock and make sure that we'll test the theory that locking doesn't make any difference, or does make a difference. I'll unlock and see if it matters. Sorry to be interrupting all the time, but I'd rather be safe than sorry. And since there's no way for me to know whether we're breaking up, I'd rather do that. So now we'll talk here for a few minutes about all these different. Now that we've figured out how to, in fast mode, how to find our folder, find our files, and tag our files. In my computer, what do you have? Once you've selected your files, you can delete them, you can copy them, or you can cut them. Those are really about all you can do with files. And as we've seen, there's a lot more you can do in FileDir than that. So some of these things that I'm going to describe will work on one file, obviously, or some of them will just work in the folder. The first one is just working in the folder you're in. Others will work on tagged files or either one, depending on whether you don't have anything tagged. I mentioned the ability to open up a command line window, control slash. You're sitting here in your folder, and gee, you want to take some action that you do in a command line, do control slash. I'll say that FileDir, with its ability to do filters and some of its power that it's given has lessened the desire that I have to go into the command line. And I suspect also, for example, if I mastered the renaming features, that would because that's you can do some fancy things with renaming, and you can also use a bulk renamer. But if you are used to using rename in DOS and doing some of the things you can do using the for command and all that, Fowler makes some of that not so necessary. Let's talk about deleting, because deleting is kind of fun. It's a little slower to delete in Fowler than it is to delete in my computer. It takes a second or two for the deletion to happen. Alt-Shift-R toggles whether you want, when you hit the delete key, does the file or do the tagged files get deleted to the recycle bin, or do they get deleted off into unrecoverable thin air. But whether, and the default is that they go to the recycle bin, but you, whether or not that, then you can override that setting. So if I have these files, and I know darn good and like those HTML files I talked about before, I'm never going to want to use those files again. I don't care. I mean, the worst case scenario, if I blow it, I can download them again, but I've already created a text document out of them that I'm going to send to my book port so I can read my local newspaper on the bus, because it's a newspaper that isn't on Newsline, and therefore you can't do anything fancier with it. I'm going to hit Shift Delete, because that will delete those files, and it will delete them in a non-recoverable fashion. On the other hand, if I have it set so that my files are being deleted without recycle, and I am hovering over some files and I think, you know, I better be really careful on this, you can do Control Delete, and those files will be deleted to the recycle bin. So you have control over how the deletions work. I mentioned before you have the ability to do some interesting moving and copying. We're used to the whole Windows thing of copying to the clipboard, going some other window, pasting. That's, you can do that with Fowler as far as that goes. And as a matter of fact, Jamal has added a nifty little feature to it. Apparently, behind the scenes in Windows, when you copy stuff to the clipboard, you can copy. Windows has the ability to record both the name for text purposes and the data of the file for file copy purposes. So in Fowler, if you hit Control C, you've copied, you've actually done two things, but and you can actually use both of those things if you wanted to. You could then go to a text editor, paste, and you would have the path of that file. And then you can go somewhere else and paste the file, and the file would be copied from its original location to the new location. So that's kind of fun. And there are actually a few other commands that are even better. Alt-C is copy append is what he calls it. So you can go, you can take the current item that you have focus on, and you can append that to the clipboard. You can append a bunch of tagged files in a current folder. You can then go to another folder and do the same thing. So you can put a whole bunch of files onto the clipboard for purposes of either pasting them later or for pasting their names later. If all you want is the name of the file, and that I can't tell you how often that's happened to me a lot over the years in Windows Classroom. I just want to get the name of this file. Shift Control C just copies the name of the current file. Now the other thing that Jamal has put together is using the Shift key to move or copy. So you've got some tagged files, you want to copy them somewhere, you want to move them somewhere. So Shift C for copy, Shift M for move. Fowler will prompt you for a location. It will generally, assuming that you closed the program properly or that you didn't have a problem with Windows. Unfortunately, sometimes one does have those problems. But best of all worlds, it'll remember the last place you copied the folders or last place you copied or moved to. So in the best of all worlds, you may just be able to hit Enter and your files are copied or moved, depending on what you directed. The program gives you feedback as it's going along, which personally I'm not that crazy about this feature, but it'll as it's acting on a file, it'll tell you. So it moves along and it tells you all these files that it's copying and moving one by one by one, and then it says done after it's finished. He did that very consciously, and some people probably like that feature. when I'm creating Top Tech Tidbits for Thursday, there are several files get modified every week. And so I love the fact that now I can just tag those five files, hit Shift-F, and FileDuer remembers my FTP site, username and password, and coordinates, and it simply FTPs those files up to my website. Don't have to do much of anything. I also like the fact for zipping and unzipping. I mentioned as a Bookshare validator and other purposes, when you want to unzip a file, it's just cool to hit Shift-U, and FileDuer will remember the last place that you unzip something to, so it works nicely that way. And of course, if you don't want to accept the places that it remembers, you can browse, or you can type a value or paste a value into the window, and it'll unzip or take its action there. Unzipping works both. You can unzip a whole archive, or you can open up an archive and unzip individual files out of the archive using that Shift-U command. Let's see. Before we get into the newspaper stuff, let me see if there's anything else I want to mention here. You can date stamp, give files a new date stamp with the exclamation mark, shift of one. That new item copy thing is one of my favorites. Shift Control N. Every once in a while, you just want to work on create a copy right there in the folder. So it takes the copy, gives it modifies the name a little bit so that you can work with it, and you've still got the original. The timer commands, F12, are all related to F12, and it's really pretty nice because you can tell the timer, okay, I want to be alerted every so many minutes, so filling in nothing in there means that the timer just runs without alerting you, or you want it to stop at a certain time, making it sort of like a stopwatch or an alarm clock. So it's a very flexible timer, because the idea is that FileDuer is probably going to be running on your computer anyway, so having it serve the purpose of a timer may come in handy. Okay, the last thing I'm going to do here is to describe this web download process, because I think this is pretty nice. And there are a couple of scenarios for it, and one of the scenarios actually I'm going to mention involves using TextPal. But let's talk first just using FileDuer. As I say, and this doesn't have to only be applied to newspapers, clearly, but sometimes you want to download web pages. Of course, at this, like with everything else in Windows, there are several 150 ways to do everything, but for the moment, we'll just talk about FileDuer. And if you like this approach, you've got the program, it's free, and you can use it for this purpose. So my little newspaper, it's never going to be on Newsline, I don't think, but and I like to be able to... Sure, I can sit there and read it on the computer, but I'd rather read it somewhere else. So I want to download the local news. Rest of the news I can get somewhere else, but the local news, or maybe the sports, so I can get the local angle on the sports. I can download that material. So what you do, the best thing to do is to open up your web browser first, because you want to be able to get the URL. Chances are, especially if you have it using Internet Explorer and the address bar is active, FileDuer is going to pick up the URL. But in case it doesn't, you need to be able to get it so you can paste it in. So once you've got your page open in your browser, go to FileDuer and do Alt-Shift-W for web download. It's going to prompt you for the URL. Chances are it'll get it right if you're following the procedure I just mentioned. So hit Enter. You've got to dismiss some little power, what is the thing? I can't remember the program now, the underlying program that's doing some of this. You'll have to just hit enter on three or four or five dialogues that actually say nothing. Just get through them. Just hit enter to get through them. I'm hoping Jamal will fix this at some point, but if he doesn't, he doesn't. It's good to know the page that you're dealing with, because what you then have is a list box of all the URLs. It'll come up in FileDuer. It may take it a minute or two to come up, depending on the size of the page. And, for example, in my newspaper, I know that the articles that I want to start downloading are somewhere around the 61st link in the list. So page down on my system, I don't know if it'll be the same on yours, takes me down 6 URLs. So I page down about 9, 10 times. And the nice thing about this version as opposed to the TextPal approach that I'm going to talk about in a minute, is that the title of the URL, the title of the web page, is at the beginning. And actually, it's a list box, so you can also hit the first letter and hopefully jump pretty close to that title, too. So this is not not a file door, usual window where you're tagging things. You're simply hitting space. It's a multi-select list box, and you're hitting space to select the web pages that you want to download. So you arrow through or use the first letter to get through this list, hit space on these different web addresses. Once you're done, you hit enter. The web pages are downloaded a little more verbosely than I would like, because, as I say, the program tells you what it's doing as it's going along, which I guess is nice in a way. You know exactly what's going on, and the web pages are downloaded into your current folder. And the nice thing is, if in my system, anyway, since I have it set up for reverse date order, the newest stuff shows up at the bottom. You won't see it immediately until you refresh the folder with the period. But you do that. Once you've got them, you then want to, in my opinion, tag them all. Well, you simply find the first one and hit Shift End, which does tag everything to the bottom of the file. Those things all become tagged. You then probably want to clear the clipboard. Alt Shift apostrophe clears the clipboard. And then you want to do a nifty little thing that these are all HTML files, but we're going to just take the text of them. So we're going to Shift A, which is append to clipboard, append tagged to clipboard. And the filer will sort of verbosely append all these files to the clipboard. You've got this one nice big long string, and actually the files are separated with 10 dashes each time, so that it makes them easy to find the files. Finally, the last step in this process, in the way I do it, is to use Alt-Shift-E, which is clipboard, if I remember, now I've forgotten the file door name of this, clipboard to text. It simply creates a text file out of the clipboard, prompts you for a name for the file, and you've got the newspaper. The last thing I do here, well, then I delete the tagged files, because they're still tagged, I just get rid of them. I don't need those web files anymore. And last thing that I do, and a few of you can relate to this, is I do a Shift-M and move this file into my bookport pending download folder. So all I have to do is plug the bookport in, and when it pops up to ask me if I want to send my queued files to the bookport, I say yes, because I've already queued the file. And it works pretty nicely with the bookport, and it would work pretty nicely with other portable devices also. You're going to have to experiment with how your individual web page goes to know what you want to download, and if you want to use the newspaper application or some other application for downloading web pages, but it certainly opens up something that I hadn't been able to do before. A variation I'm going to get into, and then I'm going to stop talking and let people ask questions. I hope I haven't totally confused everybody or bombarded everybody. There's a lot of material. I've mentioned in Top Tech Tidbits, and I did a Sound Computing article about the smart computing site for, I believe it's, I can't remember if it's 10 or 20 or somewhere in between dollars per year, you get access as a subscriber to several different magazines, and they're really clear, they write clearly, and their web pages are very well presented, easily laid out web pages, just good straight text. And so you have Smart Computing, which you can get on cassette if you're a U.S. citizen. Down the road, hopefully not too long from now, you can get it as a web download. But there's other magazines too. PC Today happens to be my favorite, because that's the magazine that, even though despite its name, it concentrates on portable devices. And they have advertisements in there, which they're little articles, but they're actually advertisements. But it's kind of nice because you can read about new products that way. There are several other magazines that you can get under this PC Today smart computing website. And those you can use the process that I just described to download those articles, but there's actually a little bit easier way, I think, if you use Jamal's text editor, TextPal. And I'm just going to briefly run through this because I've had one person request it, and just because I think it's so nice. So open up the magazine that you want to download, open up TextPal. do a Alt-Shift-G for grab URLs. What will happen then is a new window will open up with a whole bunch with all the URLs from that web page. They're just the straight URLs. This works because of the fact, and a lot of web pages are going to work this way, they use a consistent naming format for their articles. You know, web pages, they start out at the top, they have all the different repeated links that they want you to either know about or you may want to use, you know, subscribe, manage your subscription, all that kind of junk. Then you'll have the articles, you know, the actual meat, and then at the bottom you'll have other stuff that you don't want. So the beauty of this is that the articles in on all these smart computing related sites have the word article in their web address. So put yourself at the top of the text file that's been created with all these URLs. You don't want to read through them, they're boring. Do a find for the word article. Negotiate yourself to the beginning of the link that had that article. You'll probably have to go up arrow because they're very long addresses. And once you've gotten to the beginning, do a shift control home to select everything from there to the beginning and delete all that stuff. You don't want the stuff at the top of the page. So now you've got the first article. Everything else is going to be articles down to the bottom. So go down to the bottom, control N to do a shift F3 to find article again. You've now found the last occurrence of the word article. Get yourself to the below that web page address. Do a shift control N followed by a delete to wipe out that stuff. What you've now got is a list of all the articles in the magazine. And if you know, with a little practice, you can do this pretty fast. Do a Alt Shift W, which you'll remember from TextPal, is again web download. The program is going to prompt you for what extension. You're probably going to just want to hit enter on that. At least in the example I'm giving you, you'll hit enter because it's going to just offer you HTML as an extension. That's what you want. This time, the programs, the web pages are downloaded into the TextPal download folder. I did something, and I haven't even mentioned this in Filder. I should have mentioned this. One of the things Jamal did is he gives us the ability to set up quick links to our favorite folders so that you can hit, maybe three keystrokes at the most, hit the grave accent key, maybe the first letter of the name of your favorite link, favorite folder, and enter, and open up your favorite folder. So I've got the TextPal download folder in Filder as one of my favorite folders. Go there, and then we repeat the process we did earlier. Tag all those files in there, and then output them with, once you've cleared the clipboard with Alt-Shift apostrophe, do a Shift-A to take all the contents and turn it into one giant text file on the clipboard, and do an Alt-Shift-E to turn the clipboard into a text file, give it a name, you've got it, and you probably want to delete those files out of the those still tagged files out of the download folder because you won't need them anymore. You've got the text file that you want, and if you're me, you're going to send it to your bookport or ever the people are going to put it in whatever other device you've got. I don't know how if this is something anybody else is going to want to do, but I wanted to present it because to me it makes some stuff portable that wasn't otherwise portable. And as far as bookport reading, as an aside, these things read really nicely. You could set up the bookport so it recognizes that string of dashes, so you can shift from article to article using the next article command in the bookport. Otherwise, the find feature works actually. Bookport key 9 jumps you from article to article as it is anyway. So, and then there is the extraneous stuff from the web pages is still there, but you can get through it pretty quickly. And other devices are going to offer other possibilities. So there you've heard the material that was recorded for Tech Talk. Now we have the addendum because, as I said, Jamal has upgraded to version 2.8 and some things have improved and some other things have been added. A couple of the problems I mentioned aren't there anymore, although there are some other consequences. So, for example, when you are arrowing up and down through files, you don't have to create a new JAWS dictionary to solve this problem. Jamal has solved it itself. JAWS doesn't tell you not selected anymore, because, of course, it was irrelevant. We don't select text in file names and such things in Filder, so any selection messages are simply extra added speech. There's still a problem in JAWS saying the folder name as you arrow up and down, so it's kind of annoying. And as you tag files and untag them, then the full path is repeated, which gets old. But it's better than it was. Now at least we don't have selected messages and not selected messages. Another problem that was solved with a bit of a consequence. I mentioned in talking about web downloading that when you initiated the process with Alt-Shift-W, you had to go through three or four or five empty little dialog boxes that didn't serve any purpose. Well, those are now gone. But the result of getting rid of those is that now, as you arrow through the list of files, you don't get selected or not selected messages. You simply have to know that the list consists of all these potentially downloaded web pages. None of the items are checked. You have to arrow through and hit space on the ones you want to check, and you won't be told when they're checked. So this is kind of a step backwards, but on the other hand, we get rid of these little useless dialog boxes that would have confused some people. One of the features that has been fixed up dramatically is the zip list. I could never make this work before. Now it seems to work flawlessly. The idea is you put a bunch of file names into a text file. At the top of the text file, you put the name, the path, and the name of a zip archive. The zip archive doesn't have to exist yet, or it can exist. Doesn't matter. Then you tell FileDir that you're going to create a zip list, or use a zip list, really. It'll prompt you for the name of this text file that you have that contains all these documents. And it will create or update an archive based on what's in that file. So you can go through a folder in FileDir, and you can tag the files that you want to have archived. And you have a number of choices. If the archive resides in the same folder that you're tagging in, you can simply Shift-Control-C to copy their names to the clipboard, and then go to your favorite text editor, perhaps TextPal, and paste all those names in to the text file. At the top, write the full path. You have to have the full path once, at least, the full path to the archive. Or the full path, of course, if it's there more than once, doesn't really hurt anything, but if it's there only once, that's fine, as long as all the rest of the files are in that one folder. But, of course, they can all come from multiple folders if you want. Doesn't make any difference. You have all the flexibility you want, but when you run ziplist and identify the file that contains this list, all those files listed in the text file that you've written will be added to the archive. It's an easy way to create backups, one of many possible ways to do so. Another surprising new feature, Shift-Control-B, lets you send one email message that you've written as a text document to any number of people. And you have to input your SMTP server and your full name that you want to have appear in the message into the options of FileDir. Once you do that, you simply can create this message and basically use FileDir as a batch bulk email program if you want to, hopefully for honorable purposes. So this is the current state of affairs as it is with FileDir. The program is obviously continues to improve and is based on the feedback that I received from the program that I did for Tech Talk. Many people have been really impressed by the power that's found in the program, and it certainly is the most powerful file manager that many of us have ever seen, and in terms of its range of features and keyboard usability and accessibility, is unparalleled.